somewhere. I think it might have been that on the Republican-minded electorate really turned against their own candidates because they thought they'd violated their core convictions about what government should be doing and how much of it. You know, I'll stop there, but this, you know, bear that in mind. I think the Iraq war for a lot of these Republican candidates was a surmountable obstacle, but when they gave away their kind of their brain.
This is the Quality News Network. There has been no agreement reached between Democrats and the White House on the Iraq War funding bill. Congressional leaders had offered to allow President Bush to waive a timeline for Iraqi withdrawal. However, the White House rejected that as sending the wrong message. President Bush vetoed the first spending bill because it contained a timeline for U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq. North of Baghdad in Bakuba today, about 50 insurgents struck a U.S. base. After a battle with U.S. soldiers, at least six militants were killed. There has been an increase in violence recently in that region, which is a Sunni stronghold. A total of five U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq yesterday. At least 3,405 U.S. troops have been killed since the Iraq war began. In Baghdad today, two Iraqi journalists who were working for ABC News were shot to death. More than 100 journalists have been killed since the war started. The White House says it will act quickly to fill the World Bank president post after the current chief, Paul Wolfowitz, announced he will resign at the end of June after controversy over a pay raise he arranged for his girlfriend. Wolfowitz ran the bank for 2 years. French President Nicolas Sarkozy announced his cabinet picks today. His cabinet contains 15 ministers and it is about equally split between the sexes. In the Gaza Strip, factional fighting continues between Hamas and Fatah gunmen. For the third day in a row, Israeli warplanes struck Hamas targets after southern Israeli sites were hit by Hamas rocket attacks. 8 people were killed by the Israeli strikes. In southern India today, a bomb blast at a historic 17th-century mosque killed 13 people overall. After the explosion, Muslims clashed with security forces at several locations. Police fired shots and tear gas to control the rioters. In Mexico, reaction to the news of a possible immigration deal, which was struck by a bipartisan group of senators yesterday, has been mixed. Many attack the plan's components, such as a measure to limit the number of seasonal workers who are allowed into the United States. Massachusetts lawmakers may follow Michigan to become the nation's second state to ban discrimination against people because of height or weight. The law would apply in the workplace as well as the real estate market. And in New Jersey, firefighters say the wildfire, which has burned more than 17,000 acres so far, is about 70% contained. This is QNN.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Deep-sea explorers in the Atlantic Ocean may have discovered the richest shipwreck treasure in history. 17 tons of silver and gold coins from the colonial era have been raised from the ocean floor. They have a possible value of $500 million. Scientists are trying to find another way to coax the humpback whale and her calf, which are still stranded up the Sacramento River, about 90 miles from the Pacific Ocean. They may use boats to herd the whales down to the San Francisco Bay and back out to sea. A judge today has approved Northwest Airlines' reorganization plan to emerge from bankruptcy by the end of May. The Wall Street Journal reports that a giant Saudi industrial firm is about to purchase General Electric's plastics division for $11 billion. Microsoft is paying $6 billion for Aquantive, an online advertising firm. It is the software giant's largest acquisition ever. For the sixth straight day in a row, gasoline prices hit a record high. According to AAA, nationwide on average, the price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline is $3.12. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.94 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow had another record high close, up 80 points, while the NASDAQ was up 19. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes past the hour, we have made it to Friday. I'm here, I'm not on the road. And frankly, I'm tickled to death. I'd rather be here. For the most part, I mean, that's absolutely true. I'd rather be with you. I'd rather be hanging out, yakking, discussing and cussing, carrying on, figuring out what's wrong, what you think, what I think, if we think. Just to update you, yeah, finally got the new rims for the pickup truck. They're on. It's ready to roll, and I'll either be going next weekend or in the next couple of days. We'll figure it out one way or the other. And, of course, something else for your consideration. It's an Agnes-free Friday. That's right, Agnes-free Friday. The grandbaby's coming over. Little Liza will be here in short order because she's still kind of short. I mean, she's okay for, like, a little bitty baby, but yeah, relatively speaking. Agnes is excited as well, one might expect. I'm excited. I'd like to be out there and playing with the baby when she gets here, too. But tote that barge, lift that bale. And so, consequently, I'm here. And again, happy to be. You know, it's Friday, I know on the right wing side of things, Friday is the day that ordinary people actually get to pick topics. Can you imagine that? Is that just a little bit weird to you that right wing yammerheads think that they are so important that they'll determine your topic for you? You know, I mean, that's what they tell the little ditto heads. You know, don't worry, your pointy little heads will tell you what to be worried about. Look at the Mexicans, oh my God, and, you know, and flushes out there, saying, my friends, the immigration bill will destroy the Republican Party. And the savage wiener is declaring, yeah, we will stop this act of treason against the American bid. We will not be killed by the I-bomb. Oh, for pity's sakes. Oh, and by the way, because I had to run out to pick up the rims for the truck today, so, you know, there I am, toddling along and listening to some right-wing hate radio. It's so good for my blood pressure. and I hear Flush babbling on, desperately trying to generate publicity for himself with his Barack the Magic Negro song, and at the same time trying to ratchet it up another notch, and here I am falling into the trap. Doing just a brief little bit of his shtick, his drug-addled, OxyContin-overloaded shtick about Hillary Clinton. My friends, they're asking for suggestions for what Hillary's theme song should be. Well, I have one right here, and proceeds to play Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back. You know that song, don't you? It's the one that begins, well, never mind. Ick. I don't know, maybe I've got it here. We'll take a quick peep and see. But it becomes just glaringly apparent how irrelevant Flimball understands he himself is becoming. Right? No, okay, so I don't have the song. So now, you know, Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back, the one that begins, I like big butts and I cannot lie. This guy is desperate for attention. He's aching for it. Because, you know, beginning with people like Arnold, who declared that he, you know, that Rush Limbaugh has become irrelevant. Yeah. And it's true. Shrinking numbers, shrinking listenership. The poor little ditto heads are just getting older and older and older and older. You know, when right wing yammerheads go to sleep at night, I gotta figure it's pretty nervous for them, don't you imagine? I mean, they see it all just dying off and going away. It's sort of like. Yeah, it's sort of like Jerry Falwell, all alone and clutching at his chest and realizing that his end has come and he's on his way to hell and there's going to be nothing, nothing behind him. So, you know, it's kind of fun watching these people devolve. In particular, I've noticed some devolution over at in following the reportage, and it's good work too, by the way, over at Talking Radio. Our good friend Barusk, am I saying that right? Barusk, talkingradio.blogspot.com. And some coverage in, you know, we really didn't talk about this because I think Opie and Anthony are about as interesting as watching paint dry. But if XM suspended them for a month over a bit that they did where a character of theirs, they have characters there, named Homeless Charlie called in and said nasty things about Laura Bush, the Queen of England, and Condi Rice. Now, you can't say ugly things about Laura Bush and Condi Rice in America anymore because, as I've noted to you before, we don't have free speech. But what's interesting out of the Opie and Anthony thing is the way that right-wing blatherheads are responding to it. In particular, Limbaugh has, Hannity has, Savage has, but most notably, quite possibly the most hateful of quadrumvirate of hate spewers, Neil Bortz. Now, this is the guy who said that the people who didn't, who just let themselves be shot by Sung-Hui Cho, he said that they were wussies, this big brave man. But he said, and this is a quote, again, I'm over at talkingradio.blogspot.com. He said, by the end of the day today, you're going to hear liberals in Congress and the media referring to these two morons, talking about Opie and Anthony, as talk show hosts. Comparisons will be drawn between them and people like Limbaugh, Hannity, Savage, and myself. You'll hear the phrases hate speech and hate radio over and over again as these leftists, push their Stalinist-inspired plans to destroy conservative and libertarian talk radio. Vomit at will. By the time the dust has settled, the majority of the people in this country, who don't, by the way, listen to talk radio, will absolutely believe in their hearts that this Opie and Anthony stunt is representative of all talk radio, and these people will be eager to support their politicians in their goal to shut us all down. And, of course, I played audio for you the other night of the Savage Wiener going off on H.R. 3032, the Media Ownership Reform Act. And we talked a little bit about the so-called fairness doctrine and media ownership, that kind of thing. So Bortz says, right now we have a little gem called H.R. 3302, the Media Ownership Reform Act in the Congress. H.R. 3302 is a project of D.C. Democrats who know that conservative talk radio constitutes a real threat to their plans for total victory in 2008. If H.R. 3302 were to become law, talk radio as you know it would be dead inside of 9 months, period. Thanks to the antics of these two idiots, there will be more congressmen who will be willing to join in this and other efforts to control broadcast radio and, incidentally, to control satellite broadcasting as well. So, there you have it. Bortz, Hannity, Limbaugh, Savage, understand that they are in the same fetid swamp with the likes of J.J. and Elvis and Opie and Anthony and, goobers who have to say potty words on the air because the people who listen to them don't have the brain capacity to deal with higher humor. And, of course, it is the same stuff. One of Flimball's favorite jokes is to talk about female to male transsexuals and describe the surgical procedures as an adidectomy. Now this is the internet. And it's also reportage. So I'm not trying to get a laugh out of you with that. If I thought that you found jokes like that incredibly humorous, I would realize that it was time to, pack up and move on. But that's the kind of stuff that they do. The Savage Wiener, don't waste your time listening, but for God's sakes, he's as funny as a train wreck. But he will trot out that sick stuff, that gross stuff, from time to time because he knows he's dealing with an audience full of the mullet-headed Neanderthals. But as usual, leave it to these clowns to feel like they're being, or to try to tell their dead-from-the-neck-up audience that they're being persecuted. They're being persecuted. Democrats, who are Stalinists, are trying to shut them down. There is no such move afoot. You'll recall that Savage described all of this as an attempt to declare him a national security threat. A threat to national security. That's what Maurice Hinchey is trying to do to me, is declare me a threat to national security. Darn liar. Damn liar. No such thing, but they do understand, however, that if the conglomeration, the monopoly, let's call it what it is, the monopoly of terrestrial radio that the right-wing media owners have built up over the years is curtailed in any way, then it becomes less likely that they go quite as far as they currently do. Bortz, for instance, likes to consider himself in a class with Limbaugh, Hannity, Savage, O'Reilly, and that crowd. Bortz is a local talker out of Atlanta. You know, he's syndicated in a few stations, not many. And, you know, for the most, and a lot of times not even live. He's just an Atlanta babblehead. And not very bright either. You know, just sits there and spews the same libertarian talk that, you know, wants to give a tax break to multimillionaires, and he wants a fair tax. He wants a flat tax. They keep renaming this damn thing. I can't keep up with it. And he has people like James Inhofe from Oklahoma on his show. You know, this is the, you know, the insane Republican senator from Oklahoma who declared the EPA to be a Nazi organization. Yeah, that guy. So to a certain extent, you know, it's kind of fun to see him on the run. And they're on the run because they know that a lot of America has finally wised up to their shtick. And they know, and frankly, Bortz started having a hissy the minute that Air America went on the air. Because he realizes that those are chinks in the armor. And of course, if they're not getting into as many markets as they used to, then their advertisements for patent baldness medicine and herbal erection remedies and Swedish mattresses and vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls. You know, every morning Agnes and I have to get up and we have to go and vacuum out the living room from all the bowling balls that have collected. But at the end of the day, it's about their pocketbooks. These people, I don't think there's that much ideology to them. If they could, if Bortz could go on the air and sing 99 bottles of beer on the wall for 3 hours and get paid to do it, it's what he'd do. He doesn't give a damn about America. He doesn't give a damn about anybody but himself. And the same thing applies to the life support system for a haircut or the oxymoron or the savage wiener or the falafel boy. The sacred magic underwear Beck. You know, that crowd. They're all in it for themselves. And, you know, I don't know what that's like. I honestly don't know what it's like to sit there and think about yourself before you think about anybody else. It seems like a pretty pitiful way to go through life, but, you know, what the hell do I know? So, yeah, just in case you were wondering, for your edification and your listening pleasure, and as evidence of the desperation of Rush Limbaugh, this is what he suggested be played as Hillary Clinton's campaign theme song. You guys will... God, I can't believe how juvenile these people are. It's pathetic. Here we go. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends, but, you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so flat.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, because you notice that butt was stuck. She's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I want to get whipped out and take your picture. My whole boy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so horny.
Ooh, rump up smooth skin. You say you want to get in my bins? Well, use me.
Had enough. I have. Now, that's the kind of pathetic, juvenile garbage that goes out over... And now bear in mind, Opie and Anthony did the bit about Condi Rice and Laura Bush and got canned. Now what is happening here? And you know, maybe this is a psychology moment. I'm not sure. What's happening here is this is a cry for help. This is a cry, a desperate cry for attention by Flush Flimball. Nobody's paying attention to him. He's been playing Barack the Magic Negro for 4 months, and he can't get anybody to pick at him. Now, for my purposes, I'm at cross purposes on this, because on the one hand, I think Flush Flimball should finally be run off the airwaves. For not just this, but all the other offenses that he has committed over the years. You know, it was sort of like the same thing with Imus, where the decades of hate finally caught up with him on a particularly egregious moment. And if the same thing happened to Flush, there would be no tears shed. But please bear in mind that saying goodbye to one of these freaks doesn't mean that the pool is somehow diminished, because the right-wing hate radio is a vicious, vicious dog-eat-dog world where the next guy underneath you on the ladder, if you're above him on the ladder, you got to keep stomping, because he's going to try to climb over top of you. It's what Hannity's doing. You know, Hannity will pass Flimball this year. You know, O'Reilly is clinging to his 97-year-old demographic for all he's worth, probably going around the country personally installing life support units. Savage's audience stays flat or diminishes because there's just not that many people that can stand more than 5 or 10 minutes of his hateful, ignorant spiel. It is a desperate dog-eat-dog world in right-wing hate radio. Now, I'm not kidding. It really, really is. So this is the evidence of that. On the one hand, you know, just keep ignoring Flush. Either that or put on a campaign hot and heavy and drive him the hell off the airwaves. I mean, God knows there's reason enough to do it. Sure there are. There's a million reasons. There's call me back when you get that bone out of your nose. There's the NAACP needs to set up a school for robbing liquor stores. There's feminazis. You know, the overall pollution of the body politic that goes back. It's sort of like what we were talking about Falwell the other night. A lot of it goes back to fall. A lot of the hate and the lack of civility and the garbage discourse in this country goes back to Falwell. But there's a fork in the road back there somewhere, and the other fork leads right to the doorstep of Flush Flimball. You know, yesterday he was babbling on. You may have heard David from Maine talking about it a little bit. He was babbling on about having met Bill Clinton in a restaurant. By today, he was declaring, "They were seeking me out. They found out where I was, and they came to where I was." And then he does the thing with Sir Mix-a-Lot suggesting that as the theme song for Hillary Clinton's campaign. Lord God, Billy Bob, what a sad, sorry, pathetic little lot they are, aren't they? Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a break, and like I said, just so everything can be square and understood, it is an Agnes Free Friday. So if you call in, I'll see the thing blink, I'll put you on hold, and I'll come to you as quickly as possible. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. Learn it, know it, use it. Email runs into bob@headonradio.com, too. It's all so easy. We'll be back. It makes me sick. It keeps my favorite.
Major focus of the labor movement last week as a Democrat-supported trade deal with Panama and Peru caught labor leaders off guard. The Change to Win Federation's Yvette Peña López told the Workers Independent News that her organization was blindsided.
Democratic leadership stood together and announced this quote-unquote great deal for the American worker. If it really was a great deal, then we should have been able to stand right next to them and hold hands and say, yes, this is a great deal, finally.
Meanwhile, new numbers showed record U.S. trade deficits of more than $3 trillion in the last 6 years alone. Bob Baugh is executive director of the AFL-CIO's Industrial Council, and he said it's clear the deficit is costing Americans jobs.
Every one of those dollars certainly represents jobs that have gone away from here and are being produced elsewhere or could be produced here and are not.
Auto workers in North America are split over private equity firm Cerberus buying Chrysler. United Auto Workers President Ron Gettelfinger says that he believes the sale is in the best interest of workers. Canadian Auto Worker President Buzz Hargrove is not so sure.
They come in, buy as low as they can get, and then throw a lot of people out of work, downsize as much as they can, and then in a very short turnaround period, they sell and make a bundle of money for a small number of execs, so that was at the expense of thousands of workers and their families and their communities.
In other private equity firm news, the Tommy Hilfiger company pulled a circuit city last week when it fired a contract company that paid janitors on average $19 per hour in order to hire replacement workers who earn on average $9 per hour. The Hilfiger company was bought out by private equity firm Apex Partners last year for $1.54 billion. Minnesota became the 20th state in the country to ban smoking in bars and restaurants last week. Mike McGuire with the American Cancer Society says the bill is not only good for the health of service industry workers, but it will also boost the state economy in the long run because it means lower health care costs for employers.
The most primary economic impact will be healthier employees means lower health care costs. In terms of the impact on customers and patronizing bars and restaurants nationally, look at the data. The fact of the matter is that trends in the industry continue after a smoke-free law the same as they did before.
And iconic U.S. candy maker Hershey has told nearly 1,500 workers to kiss their jobs goodbye. The company closed its last Canadian factory last week and has additional plans to shutter plants in Oakdale, California, Naugatuck, Connecticut, and Reading, Pennsylvania. Many of the jobs from those plants will end up at a new plant in Mexico or contracted out to factories in China and India. The United States is no vacation nation. Just in time for summer, a study from the Center for Economic and Policy Research finds that 1 in 4 U.S. workers don't receive any paid vacation time. European workers have a legally mandated 20 paid vacation days a year. This has been the Workers Independent News Week in Review.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweats. Great prices? No sweats. Great looks? No sweats. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Can't play a little bit of Lowell George and Little Feet on a Friday. When in heaven's name can you play it? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It is a Friday evening edition. And Agnes Free Friday. So, you know, I don't know. We're going to say, we'll say those words that make her turn blue in the face while she's not listening. Nah. I'm kidding. I don't know. It's sort of a mixed bag this evening. I wanted to share that stuff with you about Flimball and Bortz, and just because it's getting a little hotter. It's getting a little bit hotter in the pot where all the little right wing frogs have been swimming for all these decades. And with any luck, they won't realize when it finally starts to boil. The American people are sick to daggum death of the right wing spew. And eventually the people that sponsor it will begin to lose money as a result of it. That's why the Head On Radio Network's here. We're in place to fill that vacuum. Because frankly, I saw a survey the other day of kids. Oh God, I hate that term. The college seniors, okay? I forget what school, but one college senior said, you know, I think the idea of getting in front of a television set at a set time every day to get my news is just stupid. I'll get my news where I want it and when I want it. I'll go to the internet. As long as, of course, there is an internet to go to. But that's kind of what we're trying to build here. It's an opportunity to put the internet to work as a broadcast medium. And I think you know from time to time, you know, the thunder rolls through, our terrified Chihuahua internet connection runs under the bed, and things don't work. But yeah, those are all things that can be fixed down the road, especially with money. So, you know, we continue to do what we're doing and how we're doing it in hopes that we'll eventually get the support that we need to grow this. We can, you know, we can continue to do this as it is for a good long while, but we want to grow. Well, I want 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of programming, don't you? From the Horn. I want to give people jobs. I want to pay people money to learn to work in this business. It was kind of weird. I mean, you've heard the story. I hired on at the right wing fundamentalist the radio station when I was 15 years old, and learned to DJ, and got a real dose of the belly of the beast in the meantime. But I'd like to create a means of growing new talent, because you know there are kids out there in high schools, colleges, and they want to learn how to do this kind of stuff, and I'd like to be a part of bringing those folks along. Let's go to the phones and see who we've got. It's always it's a crapshoot, you know, when Agnes isn't here to answer them for me. Hey, welcome to the program. Who is it?
This is Bob from North Dakota.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I am reflexing, rejoicing, and remembering.
Who and what?
Well, Botwell, of course.
Well, yeah. It's going to take a few days to get over this. You know, let's keep.
No, no, no. I'm dancing in my shoes. I'm alive, and he's dead. thank God Almighty, he's dead and buried. I hope he's buried. I mean, I'd go down and drive a stake through him if I could get.
No, I'm peeing in a 55-gallon drum these days, and I'm going to drive it to Lynchburg.
I wouldn't doubt it. But hey, you know what? This is ridiculous what they've done to us, Bob. It's ridiculous that the people of this nation are so cowed, or cowed, as we used to say in the NAM. You know.
Yeah.
That they just bow before this dictator Bush and these filthy little, what do you call them, wannabe gods? These Falwells and Dobsons and what was that one? Bro and sister. She painted Tammy Faye and Bobby May or something like that. I can't remember them. But
they all run together after a while.
After a while, they're just sickening, are they not?
They are indeed.
And it's sad that we have a nation of sheeple that follow these evil filthy, evil bastards, Bob. Excuse my French.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Agnes isn't listening.
Well, I know, but hey.
I won't tell.
I hope that you guys have a wonderful weekend with your new granddaughter, Grandpa.
Yeah, our little infant producer in training.
Yes, and a liberal to boot.
Better be.
Well, don't better be it. Don't better be it, because she will be who she is, and just love her for that. I mean, God forgive me. Even if she's right wing,
which
I still love her.
She won't be. I mean.
I know.
She doesn't have a prayer of that, given her grandmother, her grandfather, and her mother.
Good. Hey, I've got a brood here that they're doing good. Glenda is she's doing fair to middling well. She's had a little bout with a too tight cast. Now they broke it open so she can at least wiggle her fingers.
Oh, a cast is just an awful thing. No one who's never had one on can fully comprehend. You know, when the itch, literally the itch that you can't scratch, when that sucker hits,
yeah,
it's madness.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, she's doing much better. And like I said, hey, I'm reflecting, and I'm rejoicing, and I am glad that the evil doer, one of the evil doers, is dead. And I'm looking forward to the day when I can say, ding dong, all the evil doers are dead. I'm looking forward to it.
Like I said, my preferred order is Dobson and then Robertson. Because Robertson's just the doggone fun.
Yeah, well, hey, what can I say?
Yeah.
Hey, life is beautiful. One down, two or three to go, four or five or six or seven or eight, I don't know. But there's a bunch of them out there, and it's time that they just go away and allow human beings to be. Allow us to be. Allow us to live in harmony and in love and in respect for one another. As I respect you, Bob, and I respect all those listeners, all those people around this globe, I respect them before I even know them, because they listen to the horn. Like Mike Malloy was saying last night, he was saying, get on the horn, listen to John Fox and listen to this.
Yeah, I heard that the other night. That just tickled me to pieces. Those were some very, very kind words that Mike had to say.
Not kind, Bob. Not kind. Sentient. They were thoughtful.
No, they were kind, too, Bob, because, you know, and he said it himself, people, you know, would say, yeah, but you're with a different network, you know. If liberal and progressive talk is going to grow in this country, and if screw the idea of talk, if it's gonna happen that we recreate an American dialogue, which is what we're about, I think, and to a certain extent, I think Mike would even say, you know, yeah, then we cannot be sucked into, because like I said, the right wing right wing hate radio is a vicious dog eat dog go for the throat world. If Limbaugh had a chance to rip the throat out of Hannity, you know what, he'd do it in a minute.
Yeah, but
so on our side of it, Bob, we can't be that way.
No, we're not that way, Bob. Hey, Mike Malloy is he is like the voice of insanity in a world of insanity.
Yeah,
Bob.
But what?
Bob Kincaid is a voice of sanity.
Oh no, no.
Yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are.
Well, that's only because I throw bricks inside the room and go out and kick buildings and things before I get on the air.
You're more gentlemanly like, and hey, Mike is not that. He's no gentleman. He's like me. And that's why.
Hey, Mike's got a couple of years on me. Give me a few years of getting threatened and abused and attacked by the right wing, and I'll probably be right where Mike is. That's just fine where he is. But the thing is, Bob, when Randy Rhodes succeeds, when Mike succeeds, when I succeed, Mark Levine, Guy James, any of us, when we succeed, then the chance for restoring an American discussion and thereby the chance for restoring the republic succeeds.
What was that Bruce used to say?
It's not a spectator sport.
No, what was that Bruce used to say? We used to have front porches, you know, and, you know, I used to sit on my front porch and I used to, you know, talk to my neighbors. But now we are closed in, living in locked up communities, locked away from each other, except here on the Horn. We're not locked away on the Horn. We're not kind of closed in and suffering from that selfishness. We get together, we speak our minds, we do what we can when we're out there, and we talk to these people. I talk to them until I'm blue in the face. And you know what I always hear from them, Bob? Well, if I thought that, then I would have to think my government did something on 9/11 that, you know, that caused this. I can't go there. I can't think that. Well, you got to think that. You got to think that your government, this Bushevik government, is against you. They're against me. They're against every human being on this planet, and they are all for themselves. And Alberto Tocamato Gonzalez, he's all for saving his own butt. He's got nothing to say that's truthful. And the Democrats in power right now are doing nothing to bring him to account. They're doing nothing but sit on their thumbs and rotate. And if you don't know what that means,
I'm afraid I do. Too much, yeah. The visual is really no good for me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, my good friend, to you and Agnes, a wonderful weekend with your grandbaby, and get used to being called Grandpa.
I'm lobbying for Papa. It's the Hemingway kick.
One day they will call you Great Grandpa like they call me, and it's a wonderful thing because it must have been a UFO, baby. It wasn't mine.
Hey, Bob, you take it easy, my friend.
Good weekend.
You too.
Good luck to us all.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Good night, friend.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Up there on the high plains. Everything, of course, I say high plains, and I have to... and wah, wah, wah. Now, everything, you know... Bob is right. These people are aligned against us. And it's sad, it's pathetic, really. The little cannon fodder in the culture war, pointy head, ditto head, whatevers, they don't understand. They're aligned against them, too. Rugged individualism, please. There's no rugged, there's no individualism. There's none of that stuff that the right wing lives and dies by even exists anymore. Bootstraps? Oh, yeah. Sure. You betcha. Those right wingers, they're hauling themselves up by their bootstraps. No, they're not. Good God, look at the corporate welfare. Look at everything that you and me, the folks who carry this ginned up, dummied up, faked up economy on our backs. Look at what we give away. Look at how we set the system up so that the big boys can game it against us. Did you with QNN's top of the hour news? Did you hear that? General Electric is selling off what? Its plastics division? To a giant Saudi manufacturing firm? Did you get that? Does that mean anything to you? It means a lot to me. It means a little bit more of the manufacturing base in America has gone.
See ya.
And it means that the profits that go to that former GE Plastics subsidiary or what the hell ever, it means that's going to go over to the stinking sands of Saudi Arabia now. And of course, the Trade Commission will go, yeah, sure, you're bad. Yeah, let them buy it. That's great. Have I got any GE in my portfolio? I'm going to get an extra penny a share. Of course, you know, does it matter to the people who work for that arm of GE? You know, does it? Here's the new boss, same as the old boss. Does it matter who sits in the big house to the folks who are out in the fields? I honestly don't know. But, you know, those are the kind of jobs that Americans used to hold, where they would have a pension and they would have health care coverage and they would have a hope of a meaningful, decent old age. It's all going by the boards. Every last bit of it is going by the boards. And the other stuff that's out there. By the way, I mentioned Savage talking about the immigration reform bill, and he said, we stopped the Dubai ports deal. Ah. Now, you guys are smarter than that. Did the right-wingers stop the Dubai ports deal? Last I checked, it kind of went through, didn't it? Didn't it? But that's okay, because the savage wiener isn't going to smarten up the chumps. You can't cheat an honest... The three rules, and you can live by them. You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break. And don't smarten up a chump. And over on the right wing of the radio, the terrestrial radio, because, you know, they're not interested in this internet thing. It's just a fad. You know, it's Harry James talking about how rock and roll will be gone in 6 months, and we'll be back to big band swing. The internet means nothing to the right wing. And frankly, I'm glad it doesn't, because that gives us the chance to build it until they can't do anything about it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, the Savage changed nothing with Dubai ports. And he's going to, if they pass House H.R. 3302, he's going to lead 10 million people to Washington, D.C. And the little weirdos who listen to him are going, well, that'd be kind of fun to go. Too bad I got to go to work. But there will be 10 million people there because Michael Savage said so. There you go, Mike. Oh, God, what a pathetic, pitiful bunch of losers. But now, there's a bunch of stuff in the stack this evening. I don't know whether it's gotten to the point where some of these stories are tough to go into, because I don't know if you've gotten a steady diet of it already somewhere else. And whether anything I have to say about it makes any difference. You know, we're now down to the point where George Bush has entered into Nixon land, where the polling data is concerned, where public approval of his presidency is concerned. He's where Nixon was when Nixon was driven out of office. That means nothing, of course, because there aren't any Howard Bakers in the United States Senate to make the what was then called the long walk to the White House to tell then-President Richard Nixon to get the hell out, because it was going to be hell among the yearlings. We don't have that kind of courage in the minority party. We don't have, frankly... we don't have that much of that kind of courage in the Democratic party, in the majority in the Senate. But we damn sure don't have it among the Republicans. Can you imagine, or even the independent? Can you imagine Joe Lieberman taking the long walk to the White House to say, to tell George Bush that the jig was up. But we're going to find out sooner or later that George was directly involved in this sleazy business of sending his thugs to the hospital room of John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft, who I'm not inclined to defend even a little bit. I mean, this is the guy who was scared to death of calico cats and who spent your money to put to cover up the dirty naked justice statue, because every time he had to give a news conference, he wound up with a booby over his shoulder in all the pictures. That's what that was about, by the way. It's about his image and the naked aluminum booby that was showing up in the photograph. But we're, you know, all these questions. What did he know? And it's always going to be, what did George Bush know and when did he know it? And our first inclination on the normal side of the dialogue is to go, George Bush and know? Those nouns and that verb don't go together. But yeah, it does. They went in and tried to strong arm. They tried to jackboot. They tried to, you know, make him an offer he can't refuse. The guy was suffering from pancreatitis, and I remember reading about it at the time. One of the things that can bring on pancreatitis, among others, is profound abuse of alcohol. And that may be, you know, we don't know. Ashcroft, you know, he's that kind of guy. But they went to try to strong-arm him into giving his approval for spying on American citizens without warrants. And when we find out that happened, I'm sure we will be told once again that impeachment is not on the table. And that's so very distressing. And, of course, Tony Snow talking about it, and, you know, God, I guess he feels like he dodged the Reaper, and so therefore he can go back to being a sleazy bastard again. Tony Snow responded to the whole business of Liza's in the studio. Tony Snow responded saying, well, heavens to Betsy, John Ashcroft had appendicitis. It's not like his brain had been removed. God. You know, the Washington Post in their editorial today said, it's not whether the president called, it's what he did. And they said it doesn't much matter whether President Bush was the one who phoned Attorney General John Ashcroft's hospital room before the Wednesday night ambush in 2004. It matters enormously, however, whether the president was willing to have his White House aides try to strong-arm the gravely ill Attorney General into overturning the Justice Department's legal views. And, of course, yeah, Bush's response is quoted in the Washington Post editorial. It's a very sensitive program. I'll tell you that, one, the program is necessary to protect the American people, and it's still necessary because there's still an enemy that wants to do us harm. So, you know, that's... What did Woodward and Bernstein call it? That was a non-denial denial? And you wonder if there's the courage out there, the requisite amount of courage, to call these criminals on this stuff. You know, indict, impeach, imprison. I've seen that in a number of places in the so-called left blogosphere. And it's nice to think about. I would be happy with investigate. And I suppose we will do that slowly, slowly, slowly. When we're not doing other stuff like capitulating to the Republicans on funding the war. It's disturbing, I tell you. It's disturbing. So, you know, that's the first hour. In the second hour, how about a filthy, pervy Republican? No, it's not a rerun. We've got another filthy, pervy Republican to talk about. And you know what? We're gonna. We are darn sure Ghana. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. The Iraq War funding bill stalls as no agreement is reached between Democrats and the White House. Congressional leaders had offered to allow President Bush to waive a timeline for Iraqi withdrawal. However, the White House rejected that as sending the wrong message. North of Baghdad in Bakuba, nearly 50 insurgents attacked a coalition base. U.S. forces fought back, killing at least six. There were no U.S. casualties. Violence has increased recently in the area known as a Sunni stronghold. A total of five U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq yesterday. At least 3,405 U.S. troops have been killed since the Iraq War began. In Baghdad, unidentified attackers shot and killed two Iraqi journalists who were working for ABC News. The attackers waylaid the pair's car as they drove home from work. More than 100 journalists have been killed since the war began. In Gaza Strip, factional fighting continues between Hamas and Fatah gunmen. For a third day in a row, Israeli warplanes struck Hamas targets after southern Israeli sites were hit by Hamas rocket attacks. 8 people were killed. In southern India, a bomb blast at a historic mosque killed 13 people overall. After the explosion, Muslims clashed with security forces at several locations. Police fired shots and tear gas to control the rioters. In southern Philippines, a bomb detonated in a crowded bus station, killing 3 and wounding 35. Several of the victims were children. Government officials are blaming Muslim insurgents. The White House says it will act quickly to fill the World Bank president post after the current chief, Paul Wolfowitz, announced he will resign at the end of June. He's stepping down after a pay raise he arranged for his girlfriend stirred up controversy. Wolfowitz ran the bank for 2 years after leaving his position at the Pentagon, where he was the number two official. Boston lawmakers may follow Michigan to become the nation's second state to ban discrimination against people because of height or weight. The law would apply in the workplace as well as real estate transactions and the rental market. And in Mexico, there's mixed reaction to news of possible immigration deal, which was struck by a bipartisan group of senators yesterday. Many attacked aspects of the plan. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Deep-sea explorers in the Atlantic Ocean may have discovered the richest shipwreck treasure in history. 17 tons of silver and gold coins from the colonial era have been raised from the ocean floor with a possible value of $500 million. And scientists are trying to find another way to try to coax a humpback whale and her calf back out to open water. The pair is still about 90 miles from the Pacific Ocean up the Sacramento River. Scientists may use boats to herd the whales out. Authorities in the Great Lakes states are concerned about the deaths of hundreds of thousands of fish due to a possible virus. Preliminary findings that some bodies of water are infected need to be confirmed, but concerns are growing in the fishing industry. And in its largest acquisition ever, Microsoft is paying $6 billion for aQuantiv, an online advertising firm. The Wall Street Journal reports that a giant Saudi industrial firm is about to purchase General Electric's plastics division for $11 billion. And three major department stores are reporting strong gains, JCPenney's, Nordstrom's, and Kohl's. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $65.98 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow hit another record, up 80 points. It closed at 13,556. The Nasdaq's up 19. The S&P 500 is up 10. And there's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, that was fun. I have no idea what was on the news. Liza came to hang out in the studio. I was going to let her co-host. But what are you going to do? Granny and Mommy took her away. Oh, no. She's too little to co-host. I thought, you know, a little bit of somebody screaming besides me might be a, you know, might be a bonus here. It's about 6 minutes after the hour, and we will go straight to the phones. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Buttons. Who's got the button? Susan's calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan. Welcome to the program.
You are such a sap.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a schmuck. Just babies. Ugh, it's bad.
I have a feeling you took one look at that little girl and went, turned into a great big puddle of goo.
Oh, just leave her over here. I don't mind, you know.
Anyway, that's not the reason I called, but still.
Yeah, it is.
I thought I'd throw that
in. Okay.
The reason I called in is because of what you said the people were talking about, Ashcroft and his pancreatitis and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You may remember me mentioning to Agnes that my husband was in the hospital recently.
Yes.
He was in for pancreatitis.
Right, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, booze is always the cause. No, not
no,
but
yeah, because he doesn't drink. But
right, but it can be.
Oh yeah, definitely. Here's why Ashcroft handed over power. When my husband went into the emergency room and they determined what was going on, they immediately started giving him artificial painkillers that were a lot more pain, a lot more powerful than morphine.
Yeah, profound stuff.
Yeah, some really, really super good drugs. I sat there in a hospital room and listened to my dear husband solemnly explain to his son that he was sitting in a motel room and sitting at home at the same time. That man was so blasted he didn't know what planet he was on.
You know, I can certainly understand. You know, I'd want to be.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's excruciating. But the thing is, that's why he handed over power, is because you are so stoned.
You're not competent.
Yeah, you're not. These painkillers don't really take away the pain. They just get you so stoned, you don't give a rip about anything. The world could end. Cosmic, man, cosmic. You know, that type of thing. You'd be sitting there with still a grin on your face. And that's why he handed over power exactly. And
okay, well, let's take this to the next step then, Susan. And I know that you and Donald went through hell, particularly Donald. That being the case, if somebody came to you and you were in such a state and asked you for a legal opinion, what would you do? What could you do?
Okay, if it was Donald, he'd probably lay there and giggle because he was stoned. The fact that Ashcroft was actually able to lift his head and tell him off is amazing. I hate to say something good about the man because I can't stand him, but I have to say that shows incredible fortitude.
I tend to think so too. And then the callousness of an SOB like Tony Snow. I mean, did you see that or hear that comment?
Yes.
I mean, this is a guy who just had his guts opened up and scraped out and you know, got a bag to match his shoes.
And he has to know how much that hurts. It hurts.
Yeah.
I don't care if they got him neatly.
But again, loyalty to George Bush is the most important thing in any competence.
Yeah, get it. No.
Patriotism, no thanks. Adherence to rules of law, not important. Loyalty to George Bush. I mean, and it's that level of loyalty that's so scary, Susan, because that kind of stuff smacks of Soviet-era politics on the Soviet side.
Yeah, I put a comment up on a blog post. I says, hey, if this type of thing continues, you may as well just dig Stalin up and install him as the next fearless leader.
And yet, oddly enough, it's the Democrats that are accused of being Stalinist, you know, whether it's Bortz or the Savage Wiener used the term Stalinist. Maybe he used Maoist. I'm not sure. They try to vary him a little bit, but you know, it's all coordinated.
These neocons have a genius. Well, it's not a genius. They have an evil habit of taking their worst characteristic and then putting it on the Democrats.
Yeah, it's transference.
Yeah, and it works. I sincerely hope the American people are not going to buy it, because this is what they're planning. This is what they want. They want a Stalinist government. Because they, with George Bush at its head, or better yet, Dick Cheney.
You know, that's the part I can't figure out, Susan. Honest to God, that's the part I can't figure out, because these guys are gone in a year. Cheney's gone. Bush is gone.
Technically. But you got to remember, they have the biggest private army in the world at their beck and call. And it's not the U.S. Army. It's their mercenaries. I don't think they plan on leaving voluntarily.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
There's going to be blood, a lot of blood in the street.
I don't want that. God, I don't want that.
I don't either. Whatever I thought of Richard Nixon, and none of it was good, there was one thing I always knew. When the time came, he would walk out of that building at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and leave. And he did. He was enough of an American to do so. I don't think George Bush has any intention of leaving. And that scares me to death.
He's got to, though. I mean, he's got... The American people wouldn't sit still for it, would they, Susan?
I sincerely hope they wouldn't sit still for it. We may owe our ultimate liberty to a bunch of Second Amendment freaks. Think about it. Because they may turn around and say, hey, wait a minute, and reach for the guns.
Well, I've sat by and watched as time after time after time after time, the American people since January 20th, 2001, have refused to get after it and get in the streets and demand that these people exit the White House. You know, whether it's illegal wiretapping, whether it's the end of habeas corpus, whether it's ugly little fascists like Roberts and Alito, the war, on and on and on. But if they said, nah, we're not going to leave and there ain't going to be no inauguration, and I don't care if Giuliani is the next president, he's not going to be.
By the way, hand over your guns. Then I have a feeling all those people, all those survivalists, all those Second Amendment freaks are going to say, whoa, wait a minute.
And no, no. See, I don't want to.
I have a feeling we're headed for another civil war.
No, they want one. They want one. But the thing is, the Second Amendment people. Please understand, if George Bush told the NRA to give up its guns in exchange for a flat-screen TV, the NRA would be out of business tomorrow because their membership would do it.
I'm not talking about the NRA. I'm talking about the hardcore guys who are holed up in the mountains already with the guns. They're not bothering anybody. They've been there for 20, 30, 40 years. But they don't want no government telling them how to live, no how. And they will enforce it with a gun.
Well,
the government knows exactly who they are. And my advice to the American people, buy guns. Many, many, many guns. You may need them.
But when the government's got tanks and machine guns and mortars and rockets and RPGs, what the hell good's a hunting rifle going to do?
Bob, in that case, I refer you to the historical record of the resistance made by the Warsaw Ghetto.
They all got killed.
Yeah, and they held out longer than the entire Polish army.
Sure they did. Sure they did.
You have nothing left to lose. They are a bunch of people with nothing left to lose are turning our army in Iraq to mincemeat.
Oh, I know. I know.
A person with nothing left to lose.
You know, I imagine it was edited. I saw the cell phone video of that poor 17-year-old girl getting stoned to death.
Oh, God.
And, you know, that was up in Nineveh. We're in control in Nineveh. Nineveh is one of those peaceful places.
Yeah, so-called peaceful places, yeah. We are accumulating such a karmic debt with what we have done to those poor people. And we're going to pay. This country will pay, and its people will pay.
I'm not saying
we're going to be in business.
Well, I cannot get my head around the idea, Susan, that Cheney and Bush and all their ugly little freaks won't leave in January 2009.
I don't think they have any intention of doing it.
Now, okay, let me meet you halfway though. They still want that war with Iran, and if they can get a real good hot one,
yeah,
then they'll declare martial law is in effect, and you know we can't leave.
Yeah, exactly.
And God knows they'd love to do something like that
mind the fact that we ran World War II, had elections, the whole nine yards.
Oh no, yeah, sure. But if say the president-elect was Hillary or Obama, anything to keep them out of office. I understand that. I don't think. Listen, we already know. Okay, we know this as fact because it was announced prior to the 2004 election that they were looking into whether or not an election could be delayed. Now maybe that's it. Maybe they don't have to step down in January 2009 because there wasn't an election in November 2008.
If it's delayed, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
And that's the minute something like that happens. Hubby and I had dropped everything we own and head for the Canadian border. We're gone.
If they'll let you in.
They can't guard that border. And if I have to, I'll sneak across.
Well, I think the upshot of all of this is that it is scary.
Yes,
this is a scary bunch.
And these people just terrified me. They terrify me bad. And that's why I keep working so hard to get people elected that will toss them out on their ears. The best thing we could do? Bring our regular troops home and leave the mercenaries in Iraq.
Oh, I don't think the mercenaries have figured out yet that they don't get to come home. Or go home, wherever they're from. I mean, they're from El Salvador and Colombia and South Africa. I don't know that they want to come home. I don't know if they know they can't, you know, or if they even plan on it.
Yeah, because the American, after what happened with Katrina, when the Blackwater troops showed up, those mercenaries
right.
showed up and started confiscating guns, that didn't go down good. Everybody I talked to who heard about that, and I made sure everybody and their mother heard about it, they were just appalled. A Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, didn't make any difference. They were just infuriated.
As well as should have been.
Yes.
So
because they were doing something that was against, you know, so against the Constitution, it was, you know, just unbelievable. Anyway. But I wanted to tell you, let people know what exactly Ashcroft had done. He actually did something right for once, and, you know, oh, God, that hurts to say.
I know it does. Susan, you take care.
You too, and give Liza a kiss for me.
I sure will.
And same for Agnes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She's having fun being granny right now.
Yes, you too. Well, you enjoy being grandpa when you get off the air, and have a nice weekend.
All right, you too. Hey to Donald.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And let's roll on and see who we got here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Gene.
Hey, Gene.
From one to the other.
It's the Oregon segment of the program.
Yeah. Well, boy, after that, what I had to say is kind of paltry. Although I gotta say, there's a story about the blessing of trial by jury, which really makes me nervous. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
And that I that is posted up on the blog. I think one of the at-large news was kind enough to give us a head up on that. But the thing that bothers me, and I'm in a personal crisis in liberality right now. Apparently in Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
There was a deal where the student paper had gotten a restricted rating because it talked about incest, and so the student paper, of course, they said, "Well, we didn't do anything that was worse than the Bible. Why isn't that restricted?" And apparently, it ends up the Hong Kong authorities. The communist Hong Kong authorities actually said, no, you can't restrict the Bible because it's an artifact of civilization, and that's wrong. Now, I actually find that I'm agreeing with the 2041 people that said, yeah, let's go ahead and put the Bible as adult-only literature. Because, geez, Bob, I mean, they talk rape and incest and all kinds of things in there. And I think it's wrong in the sense to do that.
Oh, look, there's parts of that document, that book, that I wouldn't read around my children.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it's like, and I keep, you know, that's I came down on this as well. If they restrict that to adults only, then it's a short leap. And, of course, this is Hong Kong, so that won't happen here. But, I mean, it's just a bad precedent in my mind, and because we're such a global economy anymore, and you can't say that the neocons or the Republicans wouldn't want to do that to say the Quran. So,
Well, anytime you suppress information,
yeah,
you're headed for trouble.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's somewhat intellectually dishonest of me, Gene, because we already suppress information.
Yeah, and that's kind of the conclusion that I got. I mean, I thought about a few months back when you and David were talking about the Indiana, the strip club in Indiana about processing that. I thought, you know, we already restrict certain materials to adults, and we won't let kids see them. Now, that doesn't stop the kids from getting all of them. But, you know, I just honestly, I really I look at the, at what Falwell has done for me is like, I look at Christianity right now and it's like, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. And I just kind of feel like, just because you're old, I mean, Arianism is old. Do we particularly want to embrace that?
You right. Know? Yeah. Anything. Yeah. Age does not confer dignity.
Yeah. And yet, I agree with you that, you know, if you ban one thing, you can start that slippery slope. But it's, I can't believe the Chinese Communist government of Hong Kong is more liberal than I am.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring this up, Gene, because our good buddy Ben Birch just sent me a link to a photo over at Flickr.com.
Mm-hmm.
You've been there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Flickr.com.
Yeah.
And I guess if you go there and you you search Attention Lunatic Atheists.
Oh, I haven't seen this one.
It's a billboard in Monongah, West Virginia.
Oh, wait a minute. I did see, or I tried to see this, but it didn't come up.
Attention Lunatic Atheists and Their Lawyers. Anti-God is anti-American. Anti-American is treason. Traitors lead to civil war. Reverend E.F. Briggs, P.O. Box 9066. That's Reverend E.F. Briggs, B-R-I-G-G-S,
mm-hmm.
P.O. Box 9066, Monongah, M-O-N-O-N-G-A-H, West Virginia, 26554. Boy, I'd love to have the right Reverend Holy Man Briggs on my program, Gene. I really, really would. But they're cowards, so he won't show up. His little syllogism doesn't even work.
Yeah.
Because if anti-God is anti-American, then God must, then the converse of that has to be God is American.
Oh, yeah.
So to take all the antis out, it would be God is American, American is not treason, non-traitors, huh?
But I read that article, and it's like, you know, I'm really not, I might really consider that, you know, making an adult only, making the Bible adults only as far as material, I can really see where people would want to do that. And it's weird because if you look, if you go back to the, it's on the Register, and it's also on our blog, so we can get to it there. It's, I think I said, should the Bible be adults only, and I'll put the update that the readers do, but if you look at the comments, and these are, you know, these are mostly from England and such, and it's like, darn, they let it stand. And they're, you know, it's like, just a lot of people seem to feel like...
Well, I would hope, and I'm not certain, but I would hope that when you, you know, every public library has a copy of the Bible,
but I
hope it's not in the children's section. I mean, I don't want any children picking that filthy thing up and reading the story of what happened to Lot after his wife got turned into a pillar of salt and his daughters holed up in a cave with him and got him loaded.
Oh, yeah. And that was one of the examples they cited. But, I mean, it's, I can't get this image out of my mind of having a section in Mr. Peeps. To go and get...
Oh, Lord.
I mean, I'm sorry. Especially the picture Bible. Anyway,
Yeah, no, please, no pictures of Lot and his daughters.
I'll let you go with that.
All right, yeah, my eyes are burning now, Gene.
Okay.
Take
right.
It easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, there's a lot of... You ever wonder why it was that Saul got so mad at David? I mean, you only get that mad over one thing. But if you're inclined, yeah, Flickr.com. I can, you know, see, every time I brag, what was it, a couple of three nights ago, I said, well, at least it didn't happen in... Oh, it was the Tennessee fake gunman attack. And I said, at least it didn't happen in West Virginia. Somebody's always there to bring me back down to reality.
Anti-God is anti-American. Anti-American is treason. Traitors lead to civil war.
Lead? You know, this poor fool, Reverend E.F. Briggs, you got to understand, Reverend E.F. Briggs probably didn't get out of high school. And he's probably one of these people who became a reverend by, you know, getting some Crisco poured on his head or some such. You're religiously bigoted, Bob. You know what? I'm ignorance bigoted. I am absolutely bigoted against stupidity and ignorance. I will call it where I see it, because if I don't, I am not being true to myself or to this program or to the theory behind it. This program demands, this network demands adherence to a certain degree of candor, of honesty, of uprightness and forthrightness. Reverend E.F. Briggs probably thinks the Bible was written in Elizabethan English. And that if you're reading from any other version, you're reading from the devil's Bible. I mean, these people are truly medieval. What other word could you possibly use for it? I mean, medieval. I believe it was our good friend David last night on the program talking about the church having released 100 years worth of records of the murder and mayhem and misery of the Inquisition. Well, Reverend E.F. Briggs is the kind of goon who would like to see the Inquisition come back. And, by the way, that's, again, Reverend E.F. Briggs, P.O. Box 9066, Monongah. And it's very sad because Monongah had a terrible, terrible, terrible mine disaster many years back. And ignorance is flourishing there. Monongah, West Virginia, 26554. You can see it at flickr.com. Look for Attention Lunatic Atheists. You know, most of the atheists I know are about a million times more intelligent than any fundamentalist I've ever met. Because they have to be. Because they're committed to reason and common sense as opposed to fantastic crap. You know what I mean? So, you know, God, Edith, just makes your brain hurt. But I got other stuff to make your brain hurt this evening too, because the same people that follow Reverend E.F. Briggs. Well, there's a con out there, and again, I mentioned Fields' Law a few minutes ago. Don't smarten up a chump. Well, it turns out someone is taking that all to heart. No kidding. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true, if you did before. Slaving his life.
Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. So there was Tony Blair bidding farewell to Bush at the White House on Thursday, a pair of war makers taking one last bow together before history measures their hubris and records their blunders. The mystery about the couple was never Bush, but Blair. Why did this intelligent leader saddle up with the Texas cowboy? Even as Blair bids farewell, it's still kind of hard to figure out. Maybe he wanted to play Margaret Thatcher to Bush's Ronald Reagan. Maybe he wanted to play Winston Churchill against the great evil of terrorism, which is not, however, akin to the Nazi threat, much as Blair and Bush try to make it out to be. Maybe he wanted to bask in the refracted and bygone glory of empire. Or maybe he was infected with a bug of messianic religiosity that is unrebuttable by rational thought or democratic debate. Or maybe it's just a character flaw, as Blair kneels before the more powerful, whether it's the Queen of England or the President of the United States. Whatever the biographers and historians ultimately conclude about Blair's motivations, his decision to charge along with Bush into Iraq will forever stain that reputation of his. It was a decision that he was still defending on Thursday, even as events have proven that decision to be so terribly wrong. And all of Blair's legendary gift of gab cannot now make it right. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway Insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Third-rate romance, low-rent rendezvous.
21 minutes before the hour on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Rockin' Bob, and there's that's dedication night, and that one's going out for Paul and Shaha, Third Rate Romance, Long Rent, Low Rent Rendezvous, The Amazing Rhythm Aces. Now, I was reminded. Okay, enough of that. I was reminded of that song when I was thinking about the Paul Wolfowitz, who is going to resign 45 days from now because he needs that for some portion of his golden parachute. He needs that much time for some portion of his golden parachute to open. And, you know, the sleaze that surrounds the Wolfowitz story is a thing unto itself. However, it was what really got me going on it was... or got me thinking about it, was a news story, and it was what Gene mentioned about the slippery slope and what happens when we start engaging in censorship behavior. And there was a story that came out, in the last day or so, in which Paul Wolfowitz was quoted as having told the World Bank... And this is the way, I can say anything I want to. But, you know, it is early in the evening, and there might be children listening. And I'd just as soon not. But it was quoted in the press as, Wolfowitz was quoted in a mainstream journalism story, if they F with me, I've got enough on them to F with them. F? Fricassee? F? Formaldehyde? F? No, you get my point. You see, that's journalism, for the love of God. And yet, the Washington Post and the New York Times, Chicago Tribune, L.A. Times, what have you. They all have to act like prissy old maiden aunts. It's news. It's reporting. It's real journalism. And they can't. And they've got a list of words that they. The American people deserve to see in print the vulgarity that is the circle of Bush cronies. I mean, you've got Flush Flimball on the public airwaves at 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon when children might be in a car during summertime or around the house, and he's doing addictomy jokes. On the other hand, the Washington Post and the New York Times and that crowd are too squeamish to print an old Germanic word beginning with F that casts in bright light how nasty, how thuggish, how criminally oriented members of this Bush cabal are. And of course, I've mentioned frequently our good buddy Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com. His take on this was just beautiful. Paul Wolfowitz will offer to resign as president of the World Bank, provided that the bank's board begs him to stay. The board members apparently must don sackcloth, stand barefooted on hot coals, and publicly proclaim that Wolfowitz is blameless and incapable of any scandals and ethical violations. Following self-flagellation and etching out the name Wolfowitz on their backs, the board members must then beg the god Paul to stay even if he is too good for them. The board will offer to rename the bank and put Wolfowitz's face on the euro. After this and another 72 hours of public groveling, Wolfowitz will spit on each official and then abdicate. In a related story, President Bush is expected to nominate one of his daughters as the next president of the World Bank. Bank officials are hoping that he picks the less drunk one. Yeah, I love Eugene. But isn't that's kind of what it boiled down to, and the American people are too delicate. We're too delicate.
As my hero, that sage, that philosopher, Bugs Bunny, would say, yeah, yeah, too sensitive. We're too sensitive to see the F word in print. So it has to be printed F, asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. And then we get to figure out what the other three letters were. And that's journalistically dishonest. If they fart with me, I'll fart with them back. I mean, there's four asterisks. Yeah, three letters. Yeah. Oh, wait, it was fool. It was, if they fool with me, I'll fool with them back. Guess what? We live in a censored society. There are great musicians out there whose music can't be played on the radio because it uses dirty words. My God, there's not a dirty word in sight in the Kingsman's Louie Louie. And that caused an absolute firestorm. I'm sure they're saying something dirty in there. I just can't understand it. And you say, you see, this is the same mindset that Reverend E.F. Briggs lives in. And I took some grief from our Tuesday night pounding into hell of Jerry Falwell, and there are those out there who've got my back. I got a great little piece of writing from the Speedbird 9 blog. I know I'm a bit, Speedbird says, I know I'm a bit late getting to this, but Christ has thrown another money changer out of the temple. The so-called Reverend Jerry Falwell chose to vapor lock back on Tuesday the 9th. Back on Tuesday the 15th. Glory, hallelujah, pass the ammo, praise the Lord. For this man to have been a plague on the human race and the body politic is strong evidence that evil is indeed a preservative. Falwell grew rich and powerful, things a true Christian should not crave. Instead of spreading Christ's message of peace, love, tolerance, and forgiveness, Falwell's message was one of religious and racial bigotry, intolerance, and hatred. This man was no Christian. Now they say, and I'm jumping ahead here, they say it's bad form to speak ill of the dead. But Falwell and the rest of his ilk spoke ill of many dead, using their deaths for his own monetary and political gain. I spoke ill of him in life. I'm not letting his croaking stop me. The San Francisco Chronicle's Mark Morford, I love Mark Morford, has written a piece detailing many of Falwell's highlights. Remember the first part of Matthew 7:16, by their fruits ye shall know them. We're going to do candor here. We're going to do truth here. We have to, because it is so blessed rare. My grandmother would say, rare as hen's teeth. I've never opened a hen's beak to look for teeth. I'll take it from her on faith. But it is. It's rare. Oh, you can't say a dirty word. Oh, my ears. But remembering that the Wicked Witch of the East had a sister who was the Wicked Witch of the West. I take you next.
Dateline, Washington, Reuters.
Religious conservative leader. See, Reuters figured it out. They don't call him Christian leader anymore. Religious conservative leader James Dobson said on Thursday he would not vote for 2008 Republican presidential contender Rudolph Giuliani under any circumstances because of his support for abortion rights and his three marriages. Three, count them, three. Does that mean McCain's out? How about gangrene? Is Newt Gingrich out? This is the Dobson, head of the influential Colorado-based group Focus on the Family. Remember, take your son to the shower with you and taunt him with your Johnson. Now, that's not me. That's Dobson. Keep him from turning into a core. Dobson said Giuliani was not suited for the White House. He said he would be willing to sit out the November 2008 election if Giuliani is the Republican presidential nominee. So, you know, once again, Dobson proves that he's ready to follow in Falwell's footsteps, because he's just about too ignorant to remain alive. Breathe in, breathe out.
Breathe in, breathe out. I swear he's wearing earbuds. Given a choice between Giuliani and the Democratic nominee, he said, quote, I will either cast my ballot for an also-ran, or if worst comes to worst, not vote in a presidential election for the first time in my adult life. But Dobson, you hateful, bigoted, prejudiced, hypocritical goon, you! John Edwards has only been married once, and he still is, and he's standing by her side while she battles terrible disease. Dobson, you goober! Hillary Clinton stood by her man and didn't divorce, just like your Jesus taught! Dobson, you hate monger! Barack Obama remains married to the first woman to whom he said vows. And that's just the so-called top tier. There are family values up and down the line on the Democratic ticket, but you couldn't vote for one of them because you soulless bastard, you are a Republican operative. You know where this is going. Dobson right now he feels like he's got a bone in his throat. Because everything is telling him to throw his support behind that freak Mitt Romney. But Romney is a cultist. Cult, schmalt. The Southern Baptist Convention's a cult. The Church of Christ is a cult. I'm not talking about the United Churches of Christ, decent people. No, I'm talking about the ones that, you know, throw the piano out in the yard and won't sing with so much as a tambourine and accompaniment because there's a psalm that says, sing and make melody in thy heart. Those Church of Christ. They're freaks. They're a cult. The Baptists are a cult. The Pentecostals are a cult. The Assemblies of God are a cult. The hard shell Baptists, soft shell Baptists, free willers, what the hell ever. They're all cults. It's not just the Mormons. There's not one of them that knows diddly stuff about the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. Not one! But James Dobson has a bone in his throat because he is at cross purposes between his religious bigotry and his political bigotry. Is Rudy Giuliani presidential timber? I think not. Can we really trust a chief executive who waffles and feigns support for policies that run contrary to his alleged beliefs? Of greater concern is how he would function in office. He said Giuliani had tried to hide his views from conservatives, but, quote, this leopard has not changed his spots, and his three marriages raise moral concerns about Giuliani's candidacy that conservatives should find troubling. No, the only people that should find it troubling, Dobson, you goon, are hypocrites like you. Hypocrites. Now, this is not, please understand, this is not a defense of Rudy Giuliani, because Rudy Giuliani is crazy. I can prove it. This is just showing the meltdown over on the 10 little idiots side of 2008. And of course, Dobson was very proud. He's bragged recently about the sit-down meeting he had with George Bush, in which he understood that we have got to kill the Iranians. They cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon, even if... And see, again, they operate on Field's third law, first, last, and always. Don't smarten up the chumps. They don't dare tell the chumps the truth, that the Iranians are years and years and years away from having the fissile material necessary to create a nuclear weapon. That the nature of their agreements regarding their nuclear program calls for strict monitoring. See, there's a couple of nights ago, there's a way to find out whether or not somebody's using their nuclear reactor to generate the weapons-grade fissile material. If you pull
the rods in the reactor core. If you pull the rods frequently, you're gathering material. If you don't pull the rods frequently, you've got a peaceful civilian nuclear program. Simple, right?
Yeah, simple.
Verifiable. Observable. But this crowd of bloodthirsty goons isn't interested in verifiable or simple or any of that stuff. They want war. Because Iraq wasn't enough for them. Iraq wasn't the war that they were after. Iraq is the war that they really didn't want. Because we told them what was going to happen, and now it's happened, and they're stuck with it, they're bored with it, and they'd like to figure out a way to open up a breakout front. And they hope to break out through Tehran. Go figure. And they don't realize that the Iraqis will finally take their opportunity. If we get in a shooting war with Iran, the Iraqis who are in our backs will be on our backs. And we don't have even the beginnings of enough of a military to take on a war with an enemy in our rear, an enemy on our front, and enemies pouring in all around us. But they want it anyway because Dobson thinks it'll bring back Jesus. Evil, evil son of a bitch. Evil. So that's, you know, that's what makes it tough to get, you know, to face up to this to what we're looking at for the next 2 years. These people are not going to let up a dime's worth. They're going to press for war. They're going to press for death. They're going to press for destruction. And we've got to have the guts and the strength and the heart to stand toe-to-toe with these bully bastards and not let them get away with it. Let's go to the phones and see who's with us. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Preston.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I wasn't sure if you were on live tonight, but I was listening and I was totally intrigued and I thought I'd give you a call and say hello.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, speaking of wanting war, I was listening to a story today on NPR about this company in Charleston, South Carolina, that has become the second largest employer in Charleston. And it's something like Force Protection Industries. And they make this giant, the vehicle's like a MRAP or something like that.
Okay.
Mine resistance and ambush protection. This giant thing to protect the troops. It was first developed by the South African apartheid regime as they were battling.
Oh, is that that just huge, giant? Yeah, I've seen. In fact, I think I saw it profiled on one of those war promotion things on the Discovery Channel.
Yep. And so, I mean, in that field, there is a growing manufacturing base. They went from producing about 10 of these a year to like 30 a month. And their stock went from 70 cents a share to $24 a share. So a lot of people cashed in.
A lot of money to be had in murder. It's good business.
Yep. So it's sad to see. It's like something out of that, the trilogy, The Lion and the
Witch in the Wardrobe or
One of those.
Yeah.
But you know how there's the one scene where they're like tearing down the forest to smelt their iron to build
right.
their weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sad to see. But as I began to say last night, there is a huge counter movement going on. Oh, before I get to that, do you know of a Marsh Fork?
Yes, absolutely.
West Virginia? I was reading a story about that in Earth First.
The battle is to provide a decent place to go to school for the kids at Marsh Fork Elementary.
Exactly. And I was reading an article about how some protesters occupied the West Virginia governor's office over a surface mining board approving a permit for Massey Energy to build a second coal silo adjacent.
Yeah, that's just, oh, that story is just filthy, Preston. I tell you what, if you don't mind, can I put you back on hold? We'll do the news and come back and we can give this the time that it deserves.
You bet. That would be great.
All right, stand by, Preston. All right, we'll be back. Like I said, news is next. Wrong button. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Chime right in, 877-443-2366. I'm here if you're there. I'm Bob.
This is the Quality News Network. Many Mexicans expressed disappointment with the immigration reform proposal by Congress. Mexican news media and activists attacked what they see as a measure to limit the number of seasonal workers allowed in the U.S. The Iraq War funding bill stalls as no agreement is reached between Democrats and the White House. Congressional leaders had offered to allow President Bush to waive a timeline for Iraqi withdrawal. However, the White House rejected that as sending the wrong message. North of Baghdad in Bakuba, nearly 50 insurgents attacked a coalition base. U.S. forces fought back, killing at least six. There were no U.S. casualties. Violence has increased recently in the area known as a Sunni stronghold. A total of five U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq yesterday. At least 3,405 U.S. troops have been killed since the Iraq War began. In Baghdad, an identified attacker shot and killed two Iraqi journalists who were working for ABC News. The attackers waylaid the pair's car as they drove home from work. More than 100 journalists have been killed since the war began. In the Gaza Strip, factional fighting continues between Hamas and Fatah gunmen. For the third day in a row, Israeli warplanes struck Hamas targets after southern Israeli sites were hit by Hamas rocket attacks. 8 people were killed. In southern India today, a bomb blast at a historic mosque killed 13 people overall. After the explosion, Muslims clashed with security forces at several locations. Police fired shots and tear gas to control the rioters. In the southern Philippines this morning, a bomb detonated in a crowded bus station, killing 3 and wounding 35. Several of the victims were children. Government officials are blaming Muslim insurgents. The White House says it will act quickly to fill the World Bank president post after the current chief, Paul Wolfowitz, announced he will resign at the end of June. He's stepping down over a pay raise he arranged for his girlfriend, stirred up a controversy. French President Nicolas Sarkozy announced his cabinet picks today. It contains 15 ministers and is about equally split between the sexes. Boston lawmakers may follow Michigan to become the nation's second state to ban discrimination against people because of height or weight. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
In New Jersey, firefighters say the wildfire, which has burned about More than 17,000 acres so far is about 70% contained. The second rainstorm in the past 3 days has helped them battle the blaze. The New York Times reports that the National Guard started the fire when an F-16 fighter jet shot off a flare during a training mission. Deep sea explorers in the Atlantic Ocean may have discovered the richest shipwrecked treasure in history. 17 tons of silver and gold coins from the colonial era have been raised from the ocean floor with a possible value of $500 million. Scientists are trying to find another way to try to coax a humpback whale and her calf back to the open water. The pair is still about 90 miles from the Pacific Ocean up the Sacramento River. Scientists may use boats to herd the whales back to open water. Microsoft is paying $6 billion for Aquantive, an online advertising firm. It is the software giant's largest acquisition ever. Robust April sales for its TurboTax and QuickBooks software increased into its profits. Three major department stores are reporting strong gains. JCPenney posted a 13% increase in quarterly profits. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $65.98 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow closed up 80 points. This is QNN.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
How's he always know where I am? Here's Bob. There's Bob! Okay, enough smart alligator. I hate breaking phone calls in too, but it was rather of a necessity at that point. We were talking with our good friend Preston from Denver. You still there, Preston?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, glad. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm behind the board, so everything that happens is a little miracle tonight. you were talking about Massey Energy and Marsh Fork Elementary. I've been down there a number of times, and if you go to sites like OHVEC.org, or you go to Coal River Mountain Watch, which is CRMW.net, I believe, you'll eventually find your way to photographs of this pathetic little school.
That was CRMW.net?
Yeah.
And what was that first one?
OVEC.org, OHVEC.org.
Okay.
And I think, I'm not sure, but you might find some information at ilovemountains.org, too.
Okay.
It's sad, because they were getting ready to build a second coal silo there when it was discovered that Massey had fraudulently manipulated the maps. They cheated. They got caught red-handed cheating. No penalties.
Jeez.
It's pitiful. There's a tank of anhydrous ammonia there that, if it ever ruptured, would kill every child, every human being, every grown-up, every living thing in its proximity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about threats to our security. You know, they are causing true threats to our security in so many fields. And you know, I was just reading about the first coal silo that they made by the school.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, again, this article I found in Earth First magazine, and a lot of people have a problem with Earth First. You know,
I don't.
Okay, thank you. And but you know how they get smeared in the mainstream press.
They're terrorists.
You know, just, you know, the same game they play with hip hop and,
yeah,
you know, everything doing something worthwhile is going to get nailed by these perception managers, so they're going to try. But anyway, I find it to be an incredibly valuable magazine, and this is where I found this, and it's the only place where, aside from you mentioning in the past, reporting on this story. And anyway, this site already, it says, the article reads, already home to a coal sludge dam, an 1,800-acre mountaintop removal site, and a sprawling coal processing facility that has been making school kids sick for years. And here they talk about the protest. You know, something like this, I'm sure, doesn't get reported very often on the TV news, but who knows, maybe they did make the news at some point in West Virginia. Do you remember anything about that?
Oh, sure. And even at our at the headonradionetwork.com website, we had the YouTube video up of the protest.
That's great. That's great.
It was just, I mean, there was a lady in a wheelchair that was abused as a part of this protest. It was pathetic.
Wow.
But unfortunately, we have, and you can't divide this along lines of Democrats and Republicans in this state, because there's really only one political party in West Virginia, Preston, and that political party is coal.
Okay.
All right. You know, our governor is an operator of coal facilities. He's a coal broker. The legislature is knuckles deep in coal. And coal is the poison that has been killing West Virginia for over 100 years now. You talk about perception management. If you go out there and read around, you'll find statements like, coal is a vital key to our success as an energy independent nation. It's a vital, vital force to get us off of our addiction to foreign oil. No, the biggest national security threat we have right now is coal.
Mm-hmm.
From an energy standpoint, we have the power to get off the grid if we want to.
Yes.
You were talking about the company that's coming in to build the wind turbine generators out in Colorado.
Yep.
And I may have mentioned it when we were talking. We have a wind farm that they're trying to build down in Greenbrier County, and the coal companies have fostered and fronted a fake environmental group down there that is fighting those windmills with every last bit of energy they have, because they say it will create viewscape pollution.
Right, right. And that they'll also, you know, they'll exploit some potential real problems, like in some instances the wind turbines can kill a lot of birds, but there are
But the science behind that, Preston, suggests that feral cats kill more birds than windmills every year.
Yeah, and there are these great engineers who figure out ways to solve those problems, like where they sight the windmills, mm-hmm. the way the turbines turn.
Yeah,
the huge difference. If they're really concerned about birds, there's plenty of things that are killing them, including our buildings.
You know, sure.
Buildings are lit up all night long for no particular reason other than to generate revenue for the coal companies.
Reflective glass.
Yeah.
growing up in the high school I went to, there were berry bushes, and in the spring the birds would come back and they would eat those berries like crazy and get higher than a kite on them.
I've read about that.
And would fly into these reflective glass windows and just brain themselves.
And
I mean, we're talking about cardinals and blue jays and robins and, you know, everything.
That's fascinating about the birds though, eating those berries. Other birds in other parts of the world do the same thing. They eat berries that are fermenting. And yeah, get high, get drunk, whatever. There's a lot of stories like that. And there are these moose in Siberia that eat psychedelic mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, it kind of makes you wonder what a moose sees. Now that's almost like a Crash Test Dummies song. You know, what does a moose see? but oddly enough, some of the zoological people read an article many years ago where they said that virtually every creature on planet Earth does something to alter its perception of reality.
Yep. There's a whole book on it, one called Animals and Psychedelics. Very interesting. A scientist who looked into this stuff, and it seems a very natural part of life.
Yeah.
But anyway, before I forget, I wanted to mention, Joe, I think, a couple of Joe Radio. Is he in Chicago now?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, in case he didn't know, I was reading another magazine we're all supposed to avoid and then dismiss called the International Socialist Review. Excellent journal. And on the back of it, there's a big advertisement for an upcoming conference, socialismconference.org. And they're going to have people, all sorts of workshops and speakers like John Pilger, Dar Jamal, the guy who's been doing all that great work
yeah.
from Iraq, Amy Goodman, Laura Flanders, Jeremy Scahill, the guy that wrote the book about Blackwater,
right,
and about two dozen other people like that. It should be a fascinating...
Well, if Joe can sneak away, it'd be fun if he could figure out a way to go and report back on it. See, I am not an informational bigot, Preston. I think I can learn something just about anywhere.
Yeah.
And if you learn enough, you can begin to piece together the facts. I mentioned the other night this book I'm reading called Everything is Miscellaneous.
Yeah.
And the guy makes a very compelling case for miscellany not being a bad thing. He makes me feel very good about my desk.
Yeah. You know, we're always being told to focus all the time. Focus, mm-hmm. focus, focus. And if your mind kind of goes in different directions, you're, you know, diagnosed with attention deficits or whatever. And
huh? What? No, I'm kidding.
But... Yeah.
Look, a squirrel. I'm playing with you. I'm sorry. That's just bad.
But yeah, maybe Cup of Joe can check it out. Maybe get some interviews. Who knows? Or I know a lot of these sorts of conferences really welcome.
And he'd be right at home at a place like that too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so many opportunities out there that I want us to start participating in. Not just because we're public relations hungry. But because we want people to see this resource that we've created and make use of it. You know, if we grow to the point where we have to put up eight dozen streams and have 8 dozen hosts, that's beautiful. That means the dialogue is happening.
Yep.
You know, I don't. You know, it was a little bit of what I was saying earlier. I don't have room for ego and all of that stuff. That's not why I do what I do. I think it would be wonderful for Joe to go and have that conversation, because only in the United States is the idea only in the United States is the word the word socialism automatically means that anything that comes after it has no intellectual value, and that in itself is intellectually dishonest.
It is It's like an authoritarian. It's prejudicial. It's
Orwellian.
Yeah, it is. It is. It was great, though, this morning. Our local progressive talk radio host, Jay Marvin, he often gets accused of being a socialist because he suggests things like, you know, people getting health care and that kind of stuff. But he asked this guy who was on the phone with them. He says, look, did you go to a public school? You know, what is socialism exactly? Are we talking about, you know, Stalinist gulags or something? No, not necessarily. We're talking about public schools. And he was like, did you drive on the roads today? You know, that was something the government was involved with, the public was involved with. You know, he could have added the clean water system, our sewage system.
Sure.
These socialist sort of endeavors. And the neocons and the neoliberals and the people who want to privatize everything are turning it into a dirty concept.
Well, I guess for a couple of hundred years we had a socialist military, didn't we, Preston?
Right.
Because it was an act of the people of the United States. It was staffed by the people of the United States who subsumed their individual liberties to the greater good. And it was funded by people's tax dollars through the federal government. Golly, how about that?
Right. I mean, therefore, limited government when it comes to social spending, when it comes to unemployment insurance and money for school and, you know, that sort of stuff. But therefore, limitless government when it comes to things like funding their private prison system and funding their, you know, MRAP production lines. Then they want all sorts of government in their direction. And
well, exactly. The governors of Utah and Oregon in the last couple of weeks, and I don't know so much about the Utah case. I've read some about the Oregon case. Governor Kulongoski out there actually tried to live for a week on food stamps.
Okay.
And you know that. I mean, that's you know, the right wingers hate the idea of giving food, you know, to poor people. And yet at the same time, and this goes to show how ideologically blinded and idiotic they are, Preston, something like the food stamp program has its roots not in feeding the poor, not in some Christian notion of not treating poor people like dirt, but as a welfare subsidy for farmers and food producers. No kidding. I mean, because it all started, you may know somebody who's old enough to know somebody, the government cheese.
Yeah.
There used to be an old gag about, you know, you can't take a group of you can't take a group picture of West Virginians because every time they say cheese, we form a single line. But that excess cheese, excess rice, excess peanut butter, excess everything that was overproduced was given away to the poor. But before it was given to the poor, it was bought from the producers by the federal government at premium prices.
Okay. Interesting. Well, we need to get those premium prices to the organic farmers and the small family farmers and,
yeah,
you know, the farmers markets. You know, we could.
Well, I'm so excited about this. You know, this was something that came out during the conversation that I had with Crystal Zivon a couple of weeks ago. She and Warren's daughter, Ariel, has started something called LACE, which is the local agricultural cooperative exchange.
Great.
In Barr, maybe I'm mispronouncing it, some Vermonter will correct me, Barre, Vermont. They're opening up a store, a restaurant that's going to deal in local agricultural products. It's really exciting. They're having a huge kickoff. You can't get tickets anymore, but Jackson Brown went and did a benefit. Or is going to do a benefit, I think June 10th or June 9th and 10th, 10th and 11th, something like that, at the old Opera House there, to provide operating capital for this endeavor. And if things like that can succeed in the United States, Preston, we've got a chance.
Yep.
And I don't mean we liberals, I mean we people who happen to eat food.
Yep. Exactly. And I have a friend in Maine who's he sends me emails about all those sorts of events going on there. Bread and Puppet Theater Group, they have big festivals and people are cooking their own bread and just doing all sorts of amazing projects. And that's what I began to talk about right before we had to say goodbye last night. Paul Hawken and his book Blessed Unrest, and how many groups are doing this incredible work out there. I mean, we truly are a majority being manipulated by an elite, and but this majority and the work it's doing, I began to say how many people he was finding, and looking at different databases and stuff, he came initially to the conclusion that there were 30,000 environmental groups strung around the globe. But when he added human rights groups and indigenous groups, he was looking at 100,000. From there, he did more research with friends of his, and they figured out they were off by a factor of 10. So there are actually over a million groups who are working on projects like this.
And all we have to do is find a way to pull them together.
Right, because we're not going to see them on most of the mainstream TV.
No.
Although in moments, even there, there are people who are sneaking it in. You know, there are so many excellent independent works being made. Some of them get to HBO. Some of them even get to the mainstream every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of great works, I just recently saw the U.S. versus John Lennon.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see that, but...
I haven't.
Highly recommend it. In addition to Lennon's music and interviews with him and archival footage and speaking with Yoko Ono, they also included comments from people on both sides of the political fence, from G. Gordon Liddy to Gore Vidal and other figures. So, the U.S. versus John Lennon.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned John Lennon. We have from time to time used his wonderful song, Working Class Hero.
Yeah.
And that, as it turns out, is coming out as a big advance front piece for the new album from Green Day. They've covered it.
Fantastic.
And there's no video or anything, but you can go to YouTube and you can hear Green Day doing Working Class Hero. And you know what? I think it would be wonderful if that introduces an entire new generation to that brilliant, brilliant piece of poetry.
Yep. Wonderful.
Of course, we'll never be able to hear it on the radio because it's got that dirty F word in it.
Okay.
Yeah, because that'll pervert the children. Not, you know, because war doesn't, you see.
Right.
And The F word is more danger to an American children, to American children than say an honor killing is to Iraqi children.
Right.
And I'm still just eaten alive by that video that I saw of that poor 17-year-old girl, stoned to death. Literally, yeah, welcome to 2007 in Iraq. They're having stonings, Preston.
God, it's a completely traumatized society at this point.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I haven't caught any commentary about it from the right wingers or anything. It wasn't Muslims that stoned her.
Okay.
She was from the Kurdish north. She was from a tribe of an offshoot whose religion is an offshoot of Christianity.
Okay. Okay.
And she had been seen in the company of a Sunni Muslim male, and they stoned her to death for it at the age of 17.
Mm. Yeah, and then sometimes our ideologues or our propagandists will point to that and say, see how savage these people are? But they'll leave the context out, the context of having, you know, hundreds of thousands of cluster bombs dropped on them.
Yeah.
Their societies, their infrastructure destroyed their sewage system and their water system, which I guess, you know, was terribly socialist to them, was destroyed. This sort of psychotic violence, it reflects itself throughout the society. You know, women suffer more.
Well, what did Rumsfeld say, Preston? If you're going to build a democracy, you got to break some eggs. Didn't he say something? Wasn't that one of those days when he was just sitting there babbling like a man on LSD?
Right, right.
You know, these are just the hiccups you're going to have on the way to democracy. Honor killings.
Right.
You know, I don't want to start screaming, but God.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video there, and you know, CNN put it up on their website, you can see her laying on the ground covered in blood. And you can see the cops that we have paid for standing there watching it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And after the fact, they say, "Well," and it's in the report. The video, like I said, you can go see it at CNN. Not that you know. Oh God.
Yeah.
But they say, you know, oh well, you know, even though police were present when interviewed, they said there was really nothing they could do. Well, no, not standing around, there wasn't.
Yeah. You know, I can't stand how the what's going on there has been framed as them versus the other side, the Sunnis versus the Shia, and they've been fighting for hundreds of years and this and that, and there's no way they can get along kind of thing. And that's so not an accurate picture. You know, people, Sunni and Shia, they were living together, they're intermarrying, they're going to schools together. You know, it's a much broader picture than the one we're giving with these partial truths. Again, they leave out the whole context. They leave out all these other truths. And, you know, it's, again, the trauma of an invasion that brings out this hideous stuff. And like Bob was saying, your caller, he was saying, we need to just let people be. You know, when you just let them be, you know, they develop normal human relations. And that's what's constantly being disrupted by this, you know, quest for empire, military empire, that perverts us.
You know, I would still oppose it, but I think I would feel a little bit less nauseated by it, Preston, if we would quit, if we would just say, look, this is an empire move. We're working on an empire here. We're trying to build us an empire. It would be nauseating. It would be sickening. It would be heartrending. But at the same time, I could at least not have to sit there and stick my finger down my throat every time I hear them say that they're bringing democracy.
Right. Well, actually, since you mentioned that, that's been on my mind a lot because we have a radio host here who's on the big 50,000 watts. You know, they call it the blowtorch of the Rockies, and they do Rush Limbaugh. And the guy that precedes him is a guy named Mike Rosen, who says just that. He says, look, and he's worked for the Pentagon in the past. He's worked as a corporate strategist. He's upfront about it, and he's very skilled at doing propaganda for, you know, the business aristocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says flat out, yes, we're doing an empire, and other countries did it before us, and if we weren't doing it, then they'd be doing it to us. And these lines are right out of the Bible. I mean, that's like King Herod and stuff again, and rationalizing domination.
But all the, but all these guys who say, well, you know, somebody else would do it if we didn't do it. Well, that's fine. Let them fall, because there has not been a perpetual empire yet in the history of humankind.
Right. And there has been perpetual resistance. And there has been perpetual people saying, no, you all may rationalize it however you may wish to do that. But the truth of the matter is there's always been a resistance, and people who don't go, don't live in that manner, don't accept it, don't go to their wars. Or if they do go to their wars, they come back, they protest their wars. And these weaken their movement, which they actuate through these philosophies of theirs that they get from Machiavelli and all these other, you know, these big thinkers, you know, these demons, demon philosophers, they guide their lives through. And it's so fraudulent, though, in many ways. You can do philosophical debates and stuff, but just the concept of saying, but the Mayans of Guatemala, if we don't slaughter 200,000 of them, they're going to come invade us. They don't. Do they have a military-industrial complex? Do they have F-16s?
Of
course
not.
Are they sending their CIA agents up here, overthrowing our rulers? Of course, right. Of course not. It's a ridiculous assertion. But again, he is a style, and I think you know, it's very seductive to many people. In fact, there's a book called The New American Militarism, How Americans Are Seduced by War, by a West Point by a veteran and a West Point teacher, Andrew Bakovich.
Oh, my God, yeah, he's the one, yeah, we were that's the man whose son was just killed in Iraq.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh.
And, you know, when we're young and when we're growing up in this empire, we get an earful of, we better do it to them before they do it to us, or, oh, this is the way of the world, da-da-da, you can't change it. You know, that's the foundation of Christianity.
Yeah, and they turn around and they call Ron Paul the treasonous and traitor because he dared stand up and say that, you know, that some of this is cause and effect.
Right, right, right. And, you know, that's the basis of, you know, Christianity, is not to accept the evils you see in the world, but to work to change them, you know, to resist them in your own way. And again, you know, whatever the future is, you know, who knows what directions this is going to go in. I mean, I think, frankly, we're pretty lucky to even be here. I mean, in our quest for endless security and doing it to them before they do it to us, we almost blew up the world several times, us and the Russians, you know, accidentally.
And would have done it with a smile on our face.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we talk about security constantly, but we endanger it, not just for ourselves, but for, you know, large segments of the world population, you know. And if we had such a beef with Russia, you know, the two of us should have settled it between ourselves, but no, you know, we had
no, we used proxies, and I heard some more of that today while I was out and about, Preston. I heard it put forward to, well, of course the Russians moved the weapons of mass destruction out of Iraq before the war and moved them to Syria. We know that. And it was asserted as, we know that. But, you know, our relationship with the Russians is such that we can't call them on it.
Right. Right.
You know, so they just, you know, they'll just, they just make it up. Just make it up and wait for a willing sheep-like populace to swallow it whole.
Yeah. You know, sometimes they're going into it not consciously, you know. They've been manipulated by
mm-hmm.
Sometimes they are doing it consciously.
Well, sometimes it also provides philosophical and moral cover, Preston, because most of the American people actively want to believe they want their knowledge of American history and policy to stop with Father, I Cannot Tell a Lie. By George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, floating the raft down to New Orleans and walking plumb home to Indiana or Illinois or where the heck ever,
right?
And that's all they want to know,
right?
Because that's, you know, that's good and it's hard work, and that's what America's about, being good and being hard working.
Yeah.
And that's the sad thing, I think, Preston, because most of America works their tails off. I mean, the story that was on labor radio either last night or the night before. We don't get any vacation. All we do is work. We work ourselves into the grave.
Yep. Yep.
For what? so that we can get stories out of Iraq about the fact that it's finally coming out and getting some exposure, that there haven't been any meters on the damn oil pipelines since we started this war, that it's just been and they use oil smugglers. And bless his heart, Bart Kopp said, there aren't any smuggler oil tankers, there aren't any smuggler pipelines, there aren't any smuggler gas stations or refineries. Somebody's getting the profit of this so-called smuggled oil, and we all know who it is.
Yep. You know, there's a Coke Industries, not the soft drink, but a Coke spelled K-O-C-H.
Yeah.
They've been smuggling oil right out from underneath their own feet in this country. They're about the largest privately held company in the world. I mean, they rival like Microsoft. And they've put a ton of money into sponsoring these so-called free market think tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also into mining and other all sorts of different sorts of businesses. One of the founders actually helped to create the John Birch Society. And
why am I not surprised?
Yeah. Well, they're smuggling oil out of our own land.
Well, the oil business is one of the sleaziest and dirtiest that has, right next to the coal business,
yeah,
that has ever afflicted the American economic landscape. It is typical, so I was told once upon a time, in places where there are a lot of natural gas drilling, working profit interests in a gas well are sold by 30 seconds. In other words, 32 shares of any given well. And it was typical for the on the ground oil and gas operator to sell 172, 200, whatever 30-second shares to get his operating capital, and then a little bit later he sells it all. Then he goes bust, and the shareholders go, "But wait!" And he's laughing onto the next oil patch.
There you go. And Coke was underreporting how much oil they were taking out of the ground here. They were also had these huge spills of benzene. Another threat to our health. I mean, if some, terrorist came here and spread benzene around and made all these people sick, we'd flip out about that.
Well, yeah, I wrote once upon a time that if Saddam Hussein had done to Iraq what Massey Energy has done to West Virginia, we might have had a good reason for invading.
Right, exactly. Coke was fined like $500 million. In fact, they received one of the largest fines in the history of, corporations getting some punishment here and there. But that's why they're behind this movement now for what they call less government. That's the government, in addition to getting rid of...
Yeah, anybody that can keep an eye on them.
Yep.
Our good friend Sue down on Big Coal River just sent me a story here when she heard you mention Massey. This is from today's Charleston Gazette, Preston. Federal regulators cut a deal 4 years ago, yep, that's Bush administration, that saved Massey Energy from potentially losing at least $85 million in coal sales to government-owned power plants. EPA officials didn't disclose the settlement. It kept Massey from being barred from government contracts after two of its subsidiaries pleaded guilty in 2002 to criminal Clean Water Act violations.
Yep.
And
talk about your dirty bombs.
Yeah. Now, bear in mind, of course, Massey Energy, if you go and you do the sweat work of looking up their numbers, these guys haven't turned a profit two quarters in the last 20. And their CEO Don Blankenship is a multimillionaire for sitting there losing money.
Right. Probably getting performance bonuses.
Yeah, how does that happen? Yeah, how does it happen? I mean,
they're the welfare kings, truly.
Yeah,
the corporate welfare kings.
And they sell their coal, for instance, to the Tennessee Valley Authority. Which of course provides the electricity down where I grew up in the Shoals area of Alabama.
Well, isn't it interesting though, how Al Gore popped out of that same state,
yeah,
and is doing all this great work to counter their nonsense. In addition to An Inconvenient Truth, there's another movie about global warming that I think is at least as threatening to this fossil fuel cartel as Inconvenient Truth was. It's called The Great Warming. And the thing about that is it doesn't involve, you know, like a liberal and all these terrible things, you know, an easy target. It involves right-wing or actually conservative evangelical Christians and among other people and other scientists. But this The Great Warming movie, it's so threatening because it's getting to their base, basically, in many ways. It's getting to churches. That's another, actually, organization that you and your supporters may want to contact to maybe get some sponsorship for your show, some progressive churches. You know, I don't agree with the argument that church and politics needs to be separated. You know, that's one of the arguments sometimes, you know, Falwell and others receive. I don't think that's the right argument, really, because we mix our politics and our religion, I think. You know, Martin Luther King.
Sure. We mixed it, but by the, we didn't do it like these people do, Preston.
Right.
Because, you know, Falwell, for instance, would take money from little old ladies' social security checks and turn it around and pump it into individual political campaigns.
Right. The difference is we're doing it for more popular causes. They're doing it for elite interests. You know, the people versus the...
You know, and Dobson, you know, when Dobson comes out and says, I don't believe Rudy Giuliani's Christian enough to be president. Well, we've had a so-called Christian president. Look where it got us.
Right. And in one instance, it actually was kind of a good thing when that Christian was Jimmy Carter.
Well, and I was going to say, and then the other instance, we had Jimmy Carter, and they can't vilify that man enough. And he teaches Sunday school to this day.
Yep. I saw a show, I think it's on one of the public TV stations, about how he was gone after. I wasn't really aware of it. But there are these, like, former FBI people, and just it was a very well-thought-out, strategic disinformation, misinformation, character assassination campaign, really, in so many ways. And again, they're going. If you're doing good work, they're going to do these things. So, yeah, it's interesting to see these people though come back. You know, Gore came back, Jimmy Carter came back with this fantastic book on the occupied territories.
Mm-hmm.
And
I tend, for some reason though, Preston, I tend to believe that Al Gore is sincere when he says that he is out of love with politics.
I think with a particular type of politics, you know, but politics takes many forms. You know, there's a lot of informal politics, too, going on. You know, when you're making good movies and you're selling good movies and you're going around the world giving talks on, you know, climate change issues and, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like he's got a bigger bully pulpit than if he was president.
That's right. There's definitely some truth to that. So.
Exactly. Preston, I'm going to roll on. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Likewise.
And I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
You bet.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, I will. A couple of requests in here. Yeah, it's got a dirty word in it. But, you know, this is. I'm going to just take a minute, gather my wits, and play this tune. To hell with the PSAs and all that stuff. Sit back for a minute and listen to some profound, profound poetry. In particular, I'm talking about John Lennon. Not the Green Day version, the John Lennon version of Working Class Hero. And when we come back, a couple of working class issues. All right? All right. This is an Agnes Free Friday, so we'll play the dirty word. You guys can survive it, can't you? This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. Oh, working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at school. They hate you if you're clever and they despise a fool. Till you're so fucking crazy you can't follow their rules. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they've tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV. And you think you're so clever and classless and free. But you're still fucking peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. There's room at the top, they are telling you still. But first you must learn how to smile as you kill. You want to be like the folks on the hill. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
I don't know about you, but that, I never hear that I don't get cold chills up my spine. Can you imagine that? Well, I guess we'd better not play things like that on the radio in America, because if you did, people might think. And it's not about the F word. It's about the really dangerous words, like peasant, like keeping you doped with religion and sex and TV. I mean, that, the rhyme scheme in that lyric is almost like Dr. Seuss. It's that simple. And it will hook itself into your brains, and the next thing you know, you're thinking about it. So good on you, Green Day, for bringing it to a new generation. Good on you. And good on folks like Billy Shears for remembering it and knowing it. Now, I said working class issue. I really, in my conversation with Preston, it was true. I didn't give a lot of airtime to something that an effort that should have been given more than it was, and that is this business of the Oregon Governor Mike Kulongoski going out and trying to live for a week on food stamps on $3 a day. And over at Huffington Post today, there was a piece by Carrie Truman. And she said, not that $3 goes very far anyway. You've got to get the maximum calories for the minimum price,
which means filling up on cheap fats and carbs like peanut butter and ramen noodles. Fresh fruits and vegetables might as well be caviar. We subsidize commodity crops like corn and soybeans, keeping the price of nutritionally bankrupt processed foods artificially low while doing nothing for the specialty crops, which is what the USDA calls fruits and vegetables. Specialty crops. Did you know that? Specialty crops. It tells us we're supposed to eat 5 to 9 servings of specialty crops each day, but we don't care enough in this country to make sure that people can. And she also notes, for most of us non-rural types, I guess she assumes that us rural types, you know, haven't figured out the internets yet. You see, there's a little subtle bigotry in there, Miss Truman. Let's work on that. For most of us non-rural types, the words farm bill go in one ear and out the other, leaving sepia snapshots of wizened guys in overalls in our heads. But food activists are trying to sweep those bits of straw from our brains and train us to think of this massive and momentous piece of legislation as the food and farm bill, because more than half the nearly $90 billion allocated every year for the farm bill pays for things like school lunches, food stamps, and WIC, the nutrition program for women, infants, and children. God, why isn't there a cabinet-level Department of Food? Oh, I screwed up. Not Mike. Ted. Ted Kulongoski. You guys are quick. This is the single... $3 a day. Now, we're paying Halliburton $29 a day to feed rotten vegetables and rotten meat to our soldiers in Iraq. $3 a day.
Why won't they get out there and get a job?
Jesus, I hate these. I hate conservatives. I do. She closes by saying, I'm glad politicians are volunteering to venture beyond the land of milk and honey to get a first-hand look at the food deserts so many Americans never see, even if it's only for a day or a week. Our awful agricultural policies have created a food chain that makes it possible for the first time in history for poor people to be both malnourished and obese. It's quite an achievement, and one for which we're all poorer if you don't count companies like Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland. Well, at least Agribiz plows some of its profits into PBS and NPR. That's about the only byproduct of industrial agriculture that contains any redeeming nutritional value. And you know why they do that? Because us little liberals, we listen to NPR, we watch PBS, and we say, oh, well, how warm and fuzzy. Oh, look, ABM, supermarket to the world. Somewhere along the way, I've got to get my hands on, you try it. Get some number 2 field grade corn, throw it in a pot, try to boil it, and serve it up at a picnic. It is inedible. And yet you eat it every day. In the form of high fructose corn sweetener, corn syrup solids, various and sundry starches. You want to talk about national security? How about a country that makes sure that the least among us have to live at best on $3 a day? Is that a Christian nation? Is that a nation that is engaged in anything you would call good? James Dobson is concerned with the values of Rudy Giuliani, but he doesn't give a tinker's damn about the fact that there are thousands, thousands, thousands of people who contribute money to him who live, who eat $3 a day. By God, if he could figure out a way to accept contributions off of a food stamp card, he would. And don't think for a minute that he wouldn't. God. All right, let's try to end this on an up note. How about a sleazy Republican to send you giggling into... No, there's nothing funny about this. Because somebody got hurt. Former South Dakota legislator Ted Klaudt, K-L-A-U-D-T, faces several charges, including stalking and second-degree rape. 8 counts of second-degree rape, that would be. 2 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor. 1 count of sexual contact with a child under 16. 2 counts of tampering with a witness. And 1 count of stalking. Corson County. And Hughes County, South Dakota. Republican family values in action. And they're working on Kilo Land Television says they're working on his voting record, his voting history as a Republican member of the South Dakota legislature. Save your breath, Kilo Land. I can tell you what it is without even trying. At some point in time, this miserable freak stood up in the South Dakota legislature and talked about family values. At some point in time, this Republican freak stood up in the South Dakota legislature and talked about the need to curtail a woman's right to deal with her own insides in the privacy of her own heart and soul, and in conjunction with the advice of a competent physician, and he called abortion murder. Let's see, got a couple of minutes left here. Comes now Larry Long. Well, there's some of that legal language. Can't say now comes in legal language, you have to say comes now. Comes now Larry Long, and being first duly sworn upon oath, deposes and says, on January 8, 2007, the Division of Criminal Investigation received a referral from the South Dakota Department of Social Services pertaining to a complaint that had been lodged with a juvenile corrections agent regarding sexual contact with a child who had been placed in foster care with Ted and Connie Clott of Walker, South Dakota. Oh, God. At some point while she was living with the Clots, she made a statement about not wanting to have kids. After she had made this statement, Clott began talking to her around the end of 2004 about donating her eggs in order to make a lot of money so that she would not need student loans for college. He then put her in touch with an agent to facilitate her egg donation. The emails directed her to allow Clott to perform various exams which were necessary for her to participate in the egg donation process. The minor described to the law enforcement the details of these exams that he conducted on her. She explained that he kept a briefcase in his office which contained a thing which he would use to stimulate her genitals. She was very uncomfortable during these procedures and would start crying, whereupon Clott would tell her, "You can't cry, you have to get stimulated." God. And we're shocked, I tell you. Because there are honor killings in Iraq. If you want to read this affidavit, you can. I'm not going to do any more of it. Lord. You can go to Kiloland.com, former South Dakota legislator arrested on sex charges. Kiloland.com. And it was a series of foster children, and they all got the same sort of treatment from this family values Republican. This Christian values Republican. Phew, God.
We dare not be surprised by what these monsters do in foreign lands. That's it. I'll hopefully join you all on Monday evening after we've gotten through the weekend. I'm going to go and play with Liza. Many thanks to John Fox, our engineer, to our announcer, Brian Reznor, to our IT professional, Peter Godbold. Many, many thanks to the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, at WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you haven't, please do the right thing and help him with his fundraising campaign. All the initial startup money that got us going here at the Horn came from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream, and by supporting this network as we got started, they're helping to save the American dream. I'm on my way, Liza. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Many Mexicans express disappointment with an immigration reform proposal by Congress. Even some lawmakers are vowing to revise certain elements of the immigration plan that reportedly favors skilled and educated workers over families. A summit between leaders of the European Union and Russia apparently ended on a sour note. The issues the two parties are disagreeing over include trade, energy supplies, and Kosovo. The Iraq War funding bill stalls as no agreement is reached between Democrats and the White House. Congressional leaders had offered to allow President Bush to waive a timeline for Iraqi withdrawal. However, the White House rejected that as sending the wrong message. North of Baghdad in Bakuba, nearly 50 insurgents attacked a coalition base. U.S. forces fought back, killing at least six. There were no U.S. casualties. Violence has increased recently in the area known as a Sunni stronghold. A total of five U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq yesterday. At least 3,405 U.S. troops have been killed since the Iraq War began. In Baghdad, unidentified attackers shot and killed two Iraqi journalists who were working for ABC News. The attackers waylaid the pair's car as they drove home from work. More than 100 journalists have been killed since the war began. In the Gaza Strip, factional fighting continues between Hamas and Fatah gunmen. For the third day in a row, Israeli warplanes struck Hamas targets after southern Israeli sites were hit by Hamas rocket attacks. Eight people were killed. In southern India today, a bomb blast at a historic mosque killed 13 people overall. After the explosion, Muslims clashed with security forces at several locations. Police fired shots of tear gas.